Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How one digital divide in America's schools is nearly fixed. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. First, disaster readiness. Though much of Puerto Rico was spared from Hurricane Irma, hundreds of thousands were still without power even before this new storm, Maria, moved in. The eye wall is due over the capital of San Juan in about 3 hours. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more on Puerto Rico's efforts to provide shelter.
Puerto Rico's governor says the island has some 450 shelters capable of taking in more than 60,000 people. Some of those are still housing evacuees from the Virgin Islands and others that were in Irma's path. Erwin Redliner runs the National Center for Disaster Preparedness at Columbia University.
The actual structural stability and availability of safe places for people to be, and it's limited on the island, and it's never really been tested with a full force, you know, Category 4 or 5 hurricane.
He says the last storm of this strength that directly hit Puerto Rico happened in 1932. Nicole Dash is a professor in disaster science at the University of North Texas. She says people in the Caribbean are used to thinking about emergency shelters as a short-term solution for a few days.
It'll be very difficult to sort of transition the people out of those shelters depending on how strong the storm is and how much damage it creates.
Many people in Puerto Rico's shelters now have no homes to go back to after Irma, or may lose their homes in Maria. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
We're also waiting for the Federal Reserve's assessment of the economy and the future of interest rates. About 7 hours from now, a key benchmark for borrowing in the U.S. is down 2.22% now. 4 years ago, fewer than 1 in 10 of U.S. students had adequately fast internet in their classrooms based on FCC standards. Today, nearly 9 out of 10 have the serious bandwidth, according to a report out from the nonprofit Education Superhighway. How did that one digital divide get narrowed so quickly? Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
Education Superhighway founder Evan Marwell says the catalyst for getting 35 million kids up to speed was the modernization of the FCC's E-Rate program in 2014. The program began in the 90s to subsidize dial-up in schools.
But in today's age of the internet with video and social learning, they realized they had to massively expand the capacity of those internet connections.
The FCC nearly doubled E-Rate funding to help schools build broadband infrastructure. Brett Skorup at George Mason University says it's funded through surcharges on your phone bill.
It'll probably be about $3 billion a year that consumers will pay to fund school broadband.
The E-Rate program isn't the only thing driving classroom connectivity. Evan Marwell says governors in 46 states worked with service providers to get prices down.
They have dramatically lowered the cost of broadband for schools, cutting it by almost 80% over the last 4 years.
Marwell says there are still 6.5 million kids that don't have the bandwidth they need. The goal is to get everybody connected by 2020. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
The There is no law in a huge swath of the United States stopping companies from firing or discriminating against people because they're gay, lesbian, or bi. Now, many states have anti-discrimination laws covering this, but many do not. The federal approach is contradictory. Does the Civil Rights Act of 1964 cover this? Several federal courts are hearing cases right now, including a key one next week. Julian Thomas watches this closely as a senior staff attorney with the Women's Rights Project at the American Civil Liberties Union. Welcome.
Hi, David.
So, an important case regarding discrimination and what the law says when it comes to sexual orientation could now go to the Supreme Court?
The Lambda Legal Defense Fund has filed an appeal on behalf of a female security guard, a lesbian, who was harassed and eventually left her employment. And the 11th Circuit ruled that sexual orientation is not covered under Title VII's provision barring discrimination because of sex. And Lambda has asked the Supreme Court to review it.
But there's also this other case that courts are dealing with now.
The Second Circuit Court of Appeals, which covers New York, Connecticut, and Vermont, actually will hear oral argument next week. And it's in the case of Donald Zarda, who was a skydiver out on Long Island. Skydivers have to be tied quite closely to the client that they're going to be jumping with for the sake of safety. And so to reassure the female client, Mr. Zarda told her, "Don't worry, I'm gay." And he was out at work. People knew this. But she objected to his telling her this and said he made her uncomfortable in saying so. And also, she says, in other ways with respect to his behavior. And so he was fired for that.
You do have the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission itself thinks that discrimination against gay and lesbian people is discrimination and therefore illegal.
Unfortunately, at least from our standpoint at the ACLU, the Department of Justice filed an amicus brief in that case opposing the EEOC's position and saying that in its view, Congress didn't envision coverage of gay men and lesbians and bisexuals at the time they enacted Title VII in 1964. And because Congress hasn't acted, that's the end of the story.
So if this does get to the U.S. Supreme Court, certainly that will add a period of uncertainty.
In a way, the court hearing it will provide some certainty, ultimately. We have a state of affairs now, which I'm sure the court will take into consideration, where because of their historic same-sex marriage decision, someone could get married over the weekend, but then come in on Monday and display a wedding photo from that ceremony and be fired for it. And that doesn't make sense.
Julian Thomas is a senior staff attorney with the Women's Rights Project at the ACLU. She's also author of the book about the 1964 Civil Rights Act called Because of Sex, One Law, 10 Cases, and 50 Years That Changed American Women's Lives at Work. Julian, thank you for this.
Thanks for having me.
Now, sadly, the skydiving instructor in that case later died in a skydiving accident. It's his family pressing the discrimination case forward. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.